Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I don't know about you, but I like surprises. When it comes to gifts, my wife has learned to just humor me when it comes to surprises, because I love getting gifts that I didn't expect to receive. I love giving gifts that people didn't expect to receive. And I mean, I would go as far as like date nights with my wife. I'm always trying to surprise her, and it gets on her nerves, but it's just what I do. We can be in a car on a drive to somewhere, and I could say, you know, she asked where we're going, babe, I'm not going to tell you. And she's like, we only have two gift cards, and so you got to pick. I know which one of these two. But I just love the idea of surprising people. And my wife will ask me, hey, so what do you want for Christmas? And that's like the ultimate insult. I'm like, what do I want for Christmas? I want to be surprised. That's what I want for Christmas. That's how I'm wired. That's how some of you are wired. But God took it a step further than getting us a gift that we didn't expect. God gave us a gift that none of us deserved. That's the goodness of our God, to not only give us something that some of us never saw coming, but he gave us something that on your best day you could never, ever deserve. And this gift that God gave us did not come in a fancy package. It didn't come from the FedEx truck. They didn't ring your doorbell and leave. This gift came from a poor family in a little town called Bethlehem, wrapped in a swaddling cloth. And it was God's greatest gift to all of mankind. And it's why we have this season. It's why we celebrate what we celebrate. Now, I don't know about you, but my kids always, they didn't get this from me. Well, I'll take that back. Some Christmases, I'm sure I did this. But they are constantly trying to find out what they got for Christmas. They sit by the Christmas tree and they grab the packages and they shake it and they smell it and they listen to it and they want to figure out what is underneath the tree. And parents, let me just give you a little tip. Code it. Don't put their names on it. Put a like little, like they aren't here, I could tell you what we do. We actually put like their birth date, like the date on their birthday, that's the day. Now if your kids are older and smarter, then put their social security number, because I promise you they don't know that. But code it so that they don't know, because they just want to know. And you know how you can, some of you did this as kids, you ask your parents like trying to, if you won't tell me what it is, tell me something about it. Is it blue? Is it silver? Does it rhyme with Nintendo? Because sometimes you just want to know. Jesus was that gift that God gave us. And he was the greatest gift. But for some of us, we can miss what that gift entails. Sometimes we can miss with the byproducts and the benefits and the blessings of that gift. And this morning, I want you to hear briefly from some of the people in the Bible who described this gift to us. They told us what this gift was all about. They told us what God was actually giving us when he gave us this gift, so that you could not just from a distance look at it from the outside package, but you can open this gift up and receive its benefits and receive its blessings. So this morning, I want to start with the angels. The angels in the Bible. The night that Mary gave birth to Jesus. The Bible says this. And these angels spoke to us describing the gift in the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says this. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by vast hosts of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." These angels were telling us and singing about this gift that we're receiving. What did they say about this gift? They said, "He is our Savior. He's our Savior." And as they worship God, they sang, "Glory to God in the highest heavens." And listen to this, they said, "Peace on earth." So this gift we see is salvation and its peace. I want you to hear another account, another description of this gift from a man in the Bible named Simeon. See, in the Jewish culture, they had to bring the babies to the temple and they had to dedicate the children to the Lord. Similarly, we do a dedication here for kids here at the church, but they had a certain process they had to walk through with new children. And when they brought Jesus to the temple, there was a man there named Simeon. And Simeon's prayer was this, and the promise from God to him was this, that you will not die until you get to see the promised Messiah. You get to see the Savior. And before you die, this will happen. And then one day, Joseph and Mary show up with Jesus in the temple. And this is what Simeon says. The Bible says this. Luke chapter 2, verse 28 says that Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Simeon describes this gift. He says that he is salvation and he is a light. He is a light. John the Baptist comes along, Jesus' cousin. And he starts to describe for us the gift that God gave to us. He's baptizing people. He's out in the wilderness. People are coming to hear him. And they start to question and wonder, "Is John, are you the one? Are you the promised one? Because all of these people are coming to see you and you're turning people's hearts back to God." And John says, "You got it all wrong. I'm not the guy. Because the man that is coming, the gift that God has given us, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandal straps." This is what he says. John chapter 1. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" John says, "He is the Lamb of God who forgives sin." He offers us forgiveness. Jesus says of himself in a way that only Jesus could. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." The Pharisees replied, "Jesus, you can't say that. You can't talk about yourself like that." They say this and say, "You are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus, who do you think you are?" This was his response. Jesus told them, "These claims are valid. Even though I make them about myself, doesn't change the truth. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know this about me." Jesus was saying, "I can say this about myself because I'm in the light. And if you were in the light, you would recognize it as well." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then lastly, there's a promise made about him, a description of this gift that was said, listen to this, 700 years before Jesus was even born. A prophet by the name of Isaiah prophesied something to a broken nation under oppression, fearful of oppression. Gives this prophecy. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This is the gift that God came to give us. This passage says a lot of things, but I focus on one point on it. He says he will be called the Prince of Peace. See, these are all descriptions. These are all people explaining what the gift is. And here's the thing. Here's the problem with gifts. The worst, the only thing that's worse than not getting a gift is getting the gift, but never using it or receiving it. And God has given a gift to the world. And I'll summarize it by saying this. This is the gift that Jesus was to all of mankind. He came to bring salvation. He came to be the light. He came to bring forgiveness. And he came to give you peace. That's why he came. That was the gift that God packaged in a swaddling cloth and brought to mankind. And what's so amazing is that Jesus came wrapped in a cloth, and when they died and put him in the tomb, he was wrapped in a cloth. But that cloth came off when he rose again. For some of you, you need to unravel that cloth. You need to open this package because this is what he died for. This is what he came into the world for. This is the gift. And listen to me, God did not just give to all of mankind. Hear me, he did. But he came to give this gift to you. See, we celebrate Christmas, and I understand joy to the world, and we sing these songs, and it's amazing. But he didn't just die for all of mankind. He didn't just come into the world for all of mankind. He came into the world for you. For you. And if there was no one else in the world, he would have came into the world for you. And he wants you to have this gift. These are the benefits and the byproduct. First, he came to give salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is basically being rescued. Many of you have seen people who have been trapped at sea. When they get rescued, they feel like they've been saved because they were rescued. That's what Jesus came. And here's the thing. Jesus came to rescue you. Look up here. From you. He came to rescue you from yourself. Many of the times, it's us who's gotten ourselves in these messes. It's us who've made these decisions. It's us who've set ourselves on a course of destruction in our own lives. But yet, he came to save us. Why? Because he's that good. Because he is that good and he loves us. He came to rescue you. Secondly, he came to be the light. What does light do? Light defeats darkness. That's what light does. See, darkness may seem overwhelming and overshadowing and powerful and all of this stuff, but darkness is only a void of something. How do I know that? Because when you light a candle, darkness leaves. You can have way more darkness than you do light, but that light is going to defeat darkness every time. Now, you may have had a very dark season. This may have been a dark year. This may be a Christmas. You've dreaded. But let me help you with something. You may be facing darkness, but the moment the light shows up, it wins. And you need, if you think about the darkest moments of your life, some of the darkest seasons of your life, it has been Jesus, the light of the world, who carried you through it. It was Jesus who sent that person to give you the right word of encouragement that you needed at the right moment. It was Jesus who helped you emotionally process through that moment, that loss, that person that walked out of your life, or that person that went into eternity. It was him and his grace. That is the light in the darkness. Because God never promised us that we wouldn't go through hard times. He never did that. As a matter of fact, he promised his disciples that you will face troubles, you will have problems, but he promised you he would be with you. And in this context, he's the light, meaning this. He's the light that in the middle of the darkness shows you who God the Father is. See, for some of us, we've been wondering, where is God? Where is God in 2020? Where is God in my family? Where is God in this loss? Where is God in my job? Where is God? He's in Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is saying, I want to light up this dark place and show you where I'm at. And show you that I'm here. Show you that I'm with you. Jesus is the light for us. And he came to give us forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. Again, this is a gift that we know about, but some of you have not unpacked it. You haven't received this gift. You may say, I have. Have you really? I want everybody in this room to do something. And this is not a prayer time. I want you to see something. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes just for a moment. And even as Christians, I think sometimes we struggle with this. Well, I know at times we struggle with this. I want you to think about the worst thing that you've ever done. I want you to think about the worst moment, the worst thing that you've done. It may be something that you have never told anyone. It may be something you're in counseling for, processing through. It may be something that causes you to, no matter what it is, I want you to think about it. Now, I want you to hear me as your pastor speak the words of God to you in that situation. If you ask me, I will forgive it. If you ask me, I will forgive you. Look up at me. That is God's gift to you. Pastor, I don't deserve forgiveness. Of course you don't. But he's good enough to give it to you anyway because he loves you. Well, I have to earn it. I have to work hard. I have to do all of these good works and these good things to try to. No, you don't. He forgave you because he loves you. And this is the promise of the Bible, and I don't have it pulled up, but you can look at it for yourself. The Bible says this, if you confess your faults to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all sin and all unrighteousness if you ask him. If you ask him. That's the gift that he came to give you. The shame, the guilt, the things you feel, the things you carry. He'll forgive you if you only ask him to. And then lastly, he came to give you peace. And peace is in the very name of who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. We understand that. But as you've heard me say this, peace is not just an emotion. Peace is not just this overwhelming, I feel calm and I feel like everything's okay. I want to tell you, that same prophet, the prophet Isaiah tells us, and I'm closing, that same prophet tells us what true peace actually is. He tells us this as he prophesied again 700 years before Jesus came. And thinking about us, God knew this. God knew that 3,000 plus years later that you would need to hear this. This is what he says. Isaiah 7. All right then. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. What does that mean? This is real peace. Real peace is knowing that God is with you. You may be going through a hard time, but he's with you. You may be grieving, but he's with you. You may be hurting, but he's with you. You may have a lack, but he is with you. And if he is with you, he is more than the whole world against you. And if that's the case, you can have peace. It's the peace that he came to give you as a gift. That's what God gave to the world. And let me take it even a step further. The book of Acts says it this way. I was reading it just this morning. God came to give us peace with God. What does that mean? That means that the person that your sin hurt and affected the most was not yourself. It was the God who created you. And he loved you enough to, as the offended party, the person that you hurt with your sin, he loved you enough to sacrifice his son so that you can be at peace with one another. He sent his son for you. That is why Christmas is all about the greatest gift that mankind has ever known. The offended God, the God who was affected, who created you and in our sin turned away from him and walked away from him and did it our own way and rebelled against him, that he would say, I'm going to love you enough to send you a gift to make this relationship right. And I just want to say this, as we talked about forgiveness, here's one of the requirements of God's forgiveness, that you go and give it to others who need it. You go and give that forgiveness to others who need it. When you have a hard time forgiving people, it's not because you're just a hard-hearted person. It's because you've forgotten how much you've been forgiven of. Go and offer that forgiveness. How do people have such good relationships? I'll tell you why. Because they forgive a lot. How do people have great marriages? Because they forgive a lot. How do people have good relationships with their parents and their kids? They forgive a lot. Because they've been forgiven. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads with me. I want to pray for you. And if you're here today, and you may even be a Christian, I want you to hear me. God wants to give you those gifts. That's what he sent Jesus into the world for. To give you forgiveness. To be the light, to reveal the Father. Bring your salvation, to rescue you from yourself, to rescue you from your choices, and to bring you peace. If you're here this morning, though, and you say, Pastor, I've never received that gift. If God is offering this to me, then this is something that I want. This is something that I need, and I want to respond to it. How do I receive this gift? It's as easy as ABC. You have to be born again. And the way you do that, as I mentioned, ABC is A, you admit. Admit what? That you're a sinner. You don't hide it. You don't try to cover it like we're so used to doing. You expose it and you say, I have the sin in my life and I'm far away from him and I'm ready to be honest about that. You admit that. And B, you believe. Believe what? That God sent the solution when he sent Jesus. You believe that he really did come into the world. He really did die on the cross. And he really did rise from the dead to offer you that forgiveness. And see, you confess. Confess what? That he is now the Lord of your life. And that word Lord is another way of saying he's the boss. He calls the shots. And that means that I'm repenting of my sin and I'm turning and I'm going to follow him. He calls the shots now. If that's you, today is the day for you to receive the gift that God gave you, that he sent into the world for, yes, all of mankind, but for you as an individual. With no one looking around, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to just simply lift up your hand and acknowledge that and say, this is me. Now, raising your hand is not going to save you, and saying the words that I say is not going to save you. It is the heart that is saying, God, I'm surrendering to you. And I'm going to follow you. And he's going to meet you right where you're at. So with no one looking around, I want you to lift up your hand because I want to acknowledge who I'm praying with. One, two, three. If that's you, lift it up. If you say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Thank you. If you could put it down. Savior's Church, let's all pray this prayer together with these precious people that are getting ready to be born again. Say this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God and that on the cross you died for my sin, for my guilt, and for my shame. I believe you faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose again from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So I turn away from my sin and I choose to follow you. And from this moment on, God is my Father. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let's celebrate with everybody that prayed that prayer to be born again.